it for this quick take section.
When it comes to the U.S. debt ceiling, as of the recording of this program, which was on May 1st, Labor Day, the U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has said that the U.S. President Joe Biden should, quote, sit down and negotiate. Well, this came after the House passed his debt ceiling bill, which would raise the national borrowing limit, but it's only in conjunction with drastic spending cuts. Well, the deeper issue here is not that, but why the U.S. creates money without any backing to cover spending that wasn't in the budget in the first place, while subjecting Americans and even the world financial markets to U.S.'s party wrangling. From me, Kovit Hathaway, and the entire team here at Economic Divide, it's goodbye until the next program.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
May 13, 1984. Place Husseiniya Jamaran Tehran. Subject: Methods of Islamic Invitation. When Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, entered Medina and established a government, he did not wait to gain great power. He carried out his invitation more widely and made people aware of their personal, social, and political duties. Quranic invitations, both in Holy Mecca and in Medina, were not personal invitation between individual and Almighty Allah. It can be said that without exception, Allah's invitations, even in things that are individuals' personal duties, personal relationships between man and Allah, carry social and political sense.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. Well, in this program, we try to shed light on some of the sentences of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, who was the great leader and founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran. On the subject of despair and disappointment, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, "Despair is of the army of Satan, and hopefulness is that of God. Always be hopeful." Well, here Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is in fact warning us about two paths of life, one of which is despair and results in Satan and hell, and the other is hope, which culminates in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and finally heaven. Although lots of difficulties may hinder the path of life of us, we shouldn't get disappointed in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it is mentioned in the 9th verse of Surah Al-Maryam, "Never have I, my Lord, been disappointed in supplicating you." According to this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined some ways to help people overcome their despair.
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله
صلى الله عليه
صل
يا رسول الله
man should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows His mercy to people, helps them, and solves the problems of the needy. Therefore, he isn't allowed to neglect nor be despaired of God's mercy. There are lots of verses in the Holy Book of Quran which indicate the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala toward all of His servants, and that is a proof for our hope in His love and attention. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, following the teachings of Quran, is just warning us, and we should keep that in mind, that all things are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing will happen if He doesn't permit it. For ending, let's just recite the sentence of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, about disappointment and despair. In that regard, he said, "Despair is of the army of Satan, and hopefulness is that of God. Always be hopeful."
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll try to have a look at the commentary of Chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode. Dear listeners, now let's listen to 224th up to the ending verses of Chapter Shu'ara.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
والشعراء يتبعهم الغاوون.
And the poets, only the deviators follow them.
ألم تر أنهم في كل واد يهيمون.
Do you not see that in every valley they roam?
وأنهم يقولون ما لا يفعلون.
And that they say what they do not do.
إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وذكروا الله كثيرا وانتصروا من بعد ما ظلموا وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.
Except those poets who believe and do righteous deeds and remember Allah often, and defend the Muslims after they were wronged. And those who have wronged are going to know to what kind of return they will be returned.
We were discussing the importance of poetry. That poetry has a touchstone and criterion, and it is aimlessness. Whenever poetry is recited based on truth, it actually supports Islam, and it is better than the holy war with a sword, actually, as the Holy Prophet ﷺ said. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam once told his companions, "Make your children acquaint with the poetry of Abdi, because he is a good and religious poet." And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam once again has said, "Whoever says a line of poem upon our legitimacy, Allah will give him a house in heaven." Also, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, "Reciting poetry is hateful for the one who is fast and the one who is in pilgrim garment or is in the sacred premises of Mecca." And also, reciting poetry on Friday or the night before Friday is disliked. An Islamic narration indicates that as soon as these verses were revealed, some of the Muslim poets, they were worried actually for themselves. They came to the Prophet, but the Prophet told them, "A believer struggles with both his sword and his tongue." However, if poetry and art do not come beside along the faith, they can be a helpful means and a level path for movement of the deluded ones. And this is the case generally. And that's why the Holy Quran warns, وَالشُعَرَاءُ يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ.
مرون على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
حفظ الكتاب بصدره فبدا وضيئا كالنجوم تألقا وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
أيها الناس
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Then next to this verse, the Holy Quran adds, "Do you not see that they wander about bewildered in every valley? أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ." They are drowned in their own imaginations, in their own poetic similes. Even when rhyming drags them this side and that side, they are wandering about bewildered. They do not often observe logic and reasoning. They do not want to think. They first think about the words they can make rhyme with each other. Their poems emerge out of their excitements. And these excitements actually send them to another field every time. They cannot concentrate on one concept and issue, and they are dragged into this and that side all the time. When they are content and pleased with someone, they elevate him with very high praises, although the one deserves to be in the depth of the ground, or they introduce him as a beautiful angel, though he is a cursed Satan. This is what the poets sometimes do when they are not added with piety and belief. And when they are offended from someone, they vilify him so much that as if they want to put him into the worst and lowest place of the low, though he is a pure and heavenly creature. So, in the next verse, the Holy Quran adds, "And that they say that which they do not do." The poets are usually men of joy rather than being the strivers of the battlefield. We will continue in the next episode talking about these verses, God willing. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Under the starry sky of the desert, from the very heart of evergreen forests, with the radiance of silver-colored sand, in the midst of proud mountains, closer, Iran,
these are
Salam. I'm a nature enthusiast and traveler. In Close Up Iran, I introduce you to the wonders and beauties of my country, Iran. Stay with me.
there is nothing as good for night sleep as rose water. It helps you to get good sound sleep and relaxes mind and body. And its aroma is fantastic. Tomorrow, I'm going to experience one of my best trips ever. It's the beautiful month of May, and I don't want to miss the most popular rose water festival in the world. Guess what? I'm going to take a tour to Qamsar, where the purest rose water in the world is produced. Iran Rose Water Festival is held every year in spring, usually from mid-May to the end of June, mainly hosted by the cities of Qamsar and Niyasar in Kashan, Isfahan province. Qamsar Rose Water is truly reputed in the world, and in terms of quality, it is absolutely unrivaled. Every year, in the second half of spring, Qamsar hosts domestic and foreign tourists who travel to this city to get acquainted with how to prepare rose water and to be able to get it directly from rose water producers and other quality traditional products. In Farsi language, rose water means gulab, and the process for obtaining rose water is called gulab giri. It is Qamsar, the city of rose water. Here is where you experience a bit of history, a dose of nature, and a whole lot of culture. I said culture because rose water or gulab has been used by Iranians since ancient times as medicine, food, and even perfume. Even in Persian poetry, the word gulab or rose water is used in different occasions. For example, Iranian poet Maulana says, "Come out here where the roses have opened. Let soul and world meet." Oh, for moments I was overwhelmed by the aroma of roses and got separated from this world. Okay, I need to take a little walk to reach the site of the festival. Thank you. Well, gula or rose water is obtained from a particular kind of rose known as Mohammadi rose in Iran. Harvesting flowers seems to be the most important part of the process. Look at these copper pots. They are very heavy. People are putting them on traditional ovens made from bricks, stones, and mud. Now they are putting the petals into the pots for boiling and adding water to the pots. During the whole process, the flame should be steady and mild. After being boiled, the extracted water is kept in special bottles. Almost every 30 kilograms of rose petals plus 80 liters of water is poured into each pot that is connected to metal pipes for the steam moving through to obtain hydrosol. I'll get some bottles of this pure rose water for my family, surely. All Iranian households have a bottle of rose water in the kitchen, as it is the main ingredient to many sweets, foods, and drinks in Iranian cuisine. Let me tell you something interesting. The holy Kaaba in Mecca is washed with rose water of Qamsar. Qamsar is a patch of paradise. So seize the day and pack your suitcase to be here. Because as the Iranian poet Hafez says, hold dear all the flowers and commune, came to be and will wither with a breeze or a gale.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
And while we take pride in calling ourselves Shia of Ali, it's not easy to follow the example of Ali. For us, it's easier to look at the companions of Amirul Mu'mineen and look at the qualities that they had and try to at least be like them. Using the phrase from Ziyarat-e Warisa, when we say to the ashab of Imam Hussein, فَيَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَعَكُمْ فَعَفُوزَ مَعَكُمْ, that I wish I had been there with you so that I would have attained the same success as you have attained, the same words we can use for the ashab of Ali. When we look at the early Shias, we see the name of Salman, Abu Zar, Miqdad, Ammar, and many others. These were the people who were known as the Shias of Ali even during the lifetime of the Prophet. We talked about Salman briefly in the last two lectures, and tonight I would like to talk about the second name in the list of the hadith that Sixth Imam says about the 10 levels of Iman, where he puts Abu Dharr on the 9th level after Salman. And so very briefly we will, you know, talk about him and the important, aspects of his life. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, his name was actually Jundam bin Junada al-Ghifari from the Ghifar tribe. And they lived in the area between Mecca and Sham. He was a person known to be a Muwahhid even before Islam, because this tradition of the Deen of Ibrahim was still there, although in minority. All the ancestors of the Rasul were all Muwahhid. They were not idol worshippers. They are known as those who are following Deen Hanif. It seems that Abu Zar was also one of them, because he never worshipped idols. And in his practical life, he was a righteous person. And when he came to know about the new religion, one of the first things that he did was, after making sure that, yes, this is a true story that he's hearing or news, he goes to Mecca during the very early days. And it took him 2 or 3 days to find out, you know, where is this new prophet? Until Ali saw him, and according to the narrations, you know, Ali said, كَأَنَّ الرَّجُلَ غَرِيبٌ. It seems this is a stranger. He's a new person here. So he talked to him. And when he realized that this, he has actually come to look for the Prophet, he took him to Rasulullah. Abu Zar actually is considered to be the fourth person among the male who accepted Islam. Historically, we have the name of Ali. And then you look at the name of his brother Ja'far. And then Zayd bin Harisa, the slave of Rasulullah. And then we come to the name of Abu Zar. And this is very early days where the Prophet had not yet formally, you know, started the mission. And so the Prophet told him that, you know, I advise you to go back to your people. And when the name of Islam and the mission becomes more public, then you can come. So Abu Zar went back. And eventually he migrated to Medina and joined the Prophet in Medina and settled down in Medina itself. Salawat Pranay Kbara. He was not only very highly regarded by the Prophet, but as I said earlier, he is among those who are known to be in the company of Ali, even during the life of the Prophet. And they were known as Shia of Ali. His loyalty to Amir al-Mu'mineen is expressed by that hadith of the sixth Imam where he says that there were three people who after the demise of the Prophet never ever, you know, abandoned Ali. Others were there, but they were a little bit weak. It took them some time to join in. But there were three individuals where him, and those three names basically Salman, Abu Dharr, and Miqdad. These were the people who not even for a moment they abandoned Ali. He was there in the house of Fatima, among the 12 people who gathered there as a protest against the Khilafat of Abu Bakr. And he was allowed to be in the janazah of Bibi Fatima and to recite the janazah namaz janaza with Amir al-Mu'mineen. And so he was very close to Ali. Like Salman, Abu Zar also was a true abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the people who lived in this dunya, used the blessings Allah had given to them, but they were not slaves of this world. They were the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even the lifestyle, we talked about Salman, you know, he got the position of the governorship of Madain, actually governor of entire Fars, Iran. But he lived a very simple life. When we look at the life of Abu Zar, the same thing. The Prophet actually described Abu Zar in the words where he says, Abu Zar fi ummati shabihu Isa ibn Maryam fi zuhdihi wa wara'ihi. That the example of Abu Zar in my ummah is like somebody like Isa ibn Maryam in his asceticism and abstinence from the luxuries of this dunya. This is Rasul describing Abu Zar as Shabiha Isa ibn Maryam in this ummah. One of the qualities of Abu Zar was that he was very courageous in speaking the truth. Never afraid even the presence of the rulers of the time. And the Prophet actually had said, he says, no sky has covered, nor any land has carried anyone more truthful in speech than Abu Dharr. This is a very great honor. No sky has covered and no land has, you know, carried anyone more truthful in his speech than Abu Dharr. And so let me, you know, just end by saying that to be a true Shia of Ali is not an easy thing. Shiaism demands loyalty and sacrifice. The example of Salman, Abu Dharr, their lifestyle, their courage in standing up for haq and truth are the things that we have to keep in mind in order to live by the claim that we have that we are the true Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. That example of Salman and Abu Dharr and other companions should be there. They were ordinary human beings like us. They were not from Anbiya. They are not from Mursaleen. They are not from A'imma. They are not Ma'asoon. Just as the Ashab of Hussein. And if we keep this in mind, inshallah, we'll be able to move in the right direction, inshallah.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Ali. حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Salim, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, the main question for today's discussion is that all the people around the world know that according to the statistics, according to the data that is available, a genocide has been taking place, as is taking place, in the occupied land of Palestine by the Israeli. But still, America and its allies remain silent about this case. From one side, they talk about peace and peace talk and negotiations or something like that. From the other side, this genocide is happening. So many children have been killed all around the world. Not only the Muslims feel responsible and committed to oppose Israel, so many NGOs around the world, so many freedom seekers, you know, are also in the same field. Sayyid Mohsen, what is the main reason that the superpowers of the world remain silent against this genocide?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, when we talk about the superpowers and what they're doing, basically, we need to know that one of the characteristics of the superpowers is that they do not look at the rights of the others. Mm-hmm. They ignore the rights of the others and they just follow their own goals. They just want to achieve their own goals, what they have aimed. Since the Zionist regime is plotted by these superpowers in the area, in this land. So why they plotted this Zionist regime? In order to fulfill their own goals, in order to achieve their own goals. Mm-hmm. Now, in order to achieve their own goals, these arrogant powers, if their plotted people or their plotted, we can say like agents, if they commit any kind of sin, terrorism, I don't know, killing, genocide, they will close their eyes on it.
Okay.
On the other hand, if there is a resistance, they will quickly speak out. They will quickly talk about it. They will oppose the resistance against these things. So one of the main reasons is because the Zionist regime is being plotted by these, we can say, arrogant powers. That's why the characteristics of arrogant powers is that they close their eyes on the rights of the others.
Okay.
This is one of the main reasons. And that's why if you see in Kashmir, I don't know, if you see in Yemen, you see Palestine specifically, because we're talking about the Zionist regime. All these genocide that is happening you know, the superpower or so-called superpower or the arrogant powers like U.S., they have closed their eyes. Even NATO, you know, they even are not reacting on this, whereas mm-hmm. they have to save. But they're obviously following their own goals as well. They have their own interests, and through those interests, they are fulfilling their interests through these agents which are plotted at different places.
And right now, we know that Israeli protesters vow to stay put until Netanyahu's canceled judicial reform is called scrapped. You know, that's all right. The country is really in chaos. So many people are, we can say, out in Israel against the administration of Netanyahu. So I think it could not even satisfy its own people. I mean, inside the occupied land, this is a big problem for them they are facing. But brothers, Salem, what do you think the main reason is? That the superpowers and so many organizations, I mean, for example, the UN. The UN is the first, I think, victim, okay, first great victim over here, remains silent. Of course, here and there, they give us different addresses of the genocide, not killing here and there. But look at just the footage and the videos and the pictures of how many children are being killed in Palestine. Why remaining silent?
I think the reason, first reason, all of these, we have to follow the history mm-hmm. of the United Nations. Before the United Nations, we had League of Nations.
Yes.
The League of Nations after the World War One.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened there, the control of the world depend on America. The America who selected and the America who bribed other nations to stay with him. That's why they have divided Europe to Eastern and Western. So anyone who was Eastern one tried the America, what we call United Nation, but this is originally is America, it's not United Nation.
Okay.
And this is one side. Another side, all what we have now as a government around the world is not selected by the people.
Mm-hmm.
What 100% to be accepted by the nations. Or the nation of that government.
Yes.
So they have an agent inside of the government.
Yes.
Since the agents of Judaism or the agents of the Zionists are yes. inside of these governments, the government will stay quiet.
Okay.
Why? Because there are some agreement within them. Behind these, what happening now, societies and what we call genocides,
yes.
because themselves, they have societies in, the,
yes.
in their what in their culture, to kill yourself. They are killing themselves sometime. And it is simple to kill someone, since you have not what special moral,
mm-hmm.
or you can say that there is a religion which stopped this, or there is an agreement to do this and to don't do that, because we have the freedom what they believe in. So you can kill whomever you want since there is what benefits. And that's when right. you will
okay.
Refer to the economics again idea, the economics idea that has been replaced by Adam Smith.
Yes.
You can what enter other country, you can bomb them, you can control them since the benefits are in that land. And you have to do that in your what? In the favor of your existence.
Yes.
Otherwise, they will overcome you. So we have to kill them. If we will not kill them, they will overcome us. And the place now like has been blocked. Israel are blocked or Judaism are blocked there. We are in Palestine. If we will leave them to say, okay, don't kill people. After that, we have to remove you from what? From the leadership, and we have to replace another one else. Okay, now maybe we'll spread this power or this Judaism in another countries, maybe in Western, maybe in another way else. To stop this, okay, it's good. Just stay there. You want to kill them? Kill them, but stay there.
That's right.
Yeah, that is what I believe in. Maybe there are another ideas why Said can explain more yeah. about the issue.
Not only the genocide is taking place against the Israeli children and the people over there. So many, for example, journalists have been killed. The latest case, which was very important, was Shirin Abu Akleh, okay? Abu Akleh, that was killed over
journalist.
There. Yeah, the journalist of Al Jazeera, okay? She was killed over there just because of covering the news and analyzing the news against the Palestinians over there. But still, we could see the world is silent. You know, nothing is happening. Nothing. Nobody has been killed. No, nothing. And just consider that, for example, this case has been taking place in the other lands, like, for example, the US or the UK or this and that.
Or Ukraine.
Or Ukraine, yeah. Yes. What would happen? Or Russia, for example. I don't know. When is the time to be awake, Sayyid? I mean, the big awake.
Well, obviously, for the Muslim land, it is an alarming situation. Uh-huh. The reason is Quran has stated the clear statement about the, you know, the leaders of the Muslim land that he must be muttaqi. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Obviously, the best of you amongst the Allah is the near Allah is the one who God varies.
Okay.
On the other hand, obviously, we have the concept of infallible leader to lead the whole land, mm-hmm. which is the authority by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since in today's world we have different countries as a Muslim countries and it's been divided, on top of that, everyone is seeking their own goal or the targets that they have, and they want to remain in power. That's why they are no more, we can say, like those who should basically lead the Muslim lands. Now, when they're in the power, they want to remain in power, and for that, they are linked with the arrogance power. Yes. They are obviously, you know, they rely on them.
Yes.
When you hear such things, what do you expect?
Yeah.
What do you expect? So there are many other reasons. Yeah. But the main reason is that in today's world, the Muslim lands, unfortunately, are led by, led by people who do not deserve to be the leaders of the Muslim Ummah.
Okay.
And that's why Zionist regime or regime like Zionism is making, you know, good relations with them, opening their own embassies in these countries, which shows us that they do not give any importance to the words of God.
Mm-hmm.
But they're after money, they're after power. On the other hand, so the capitalism in its real meaning is in these countries.
Establishment of Arab-Israel ties, you know, what was taking place. From day one after Islamic Republic of Iran was founded, the late Imam Khomeini has always addressed the issue of Palestine as not only an important case for the Muslims, but whole freedom seekers, all the people who are justice seekers around the world. This has enlightened a kind of new light in the hearts of the people, not only Muslims, but so many people all around the world. But it's still the same question. Why so many Muslim lands? Because one of the main slogans of Islam must be defending the rights of the oppressed, of the mazlumin all around the world, mustazafin around the world. So why, as Sayyid said, hand in hand with the superpowers, some of the Muslim lands are, Brother Salah?
When we compare the Islam in Iran before revolution of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, and after revolution, this will be understood as well. Now we have to compare the old one government with the new one, which we have now, Islamic government in Iran.
Yes.
This looks like the same thing happens in those Islamic countries. Islamic countries now is like Islamic country of Iran before Imam Khomeini.
Mm-hmm.
The culture of Islam is in the mind, but the government against of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it can affect the people idea, the people or understanding of what of Islam, what is Islam, what is really, what is the real of Islam, what is the really Islam, what we say in English.
Yes.
So they will say we are Muslim, but they think the Islam or the Muslim should just go to pray and fast and give zakat maybe for those Shia homes.
Yes.
And this is enough.
Okay.
So many people in the world who we call them Muslims are Muslim by the names.
Okay.
By their names only. And they are not be affected by really the basis of Islam. And they don't know what is really Islam says about being Muslim. It's just because we have the kind of types of what we call performing namaz or yes. say praying yes. or fasting or all of these. These are you with what? With your God.
Yes.
And we have another thing, you with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Nahjul Balagha,
yes.
the people are like you sometime as a what? As a human being. And others are brother of you as what? As a Muslim like you. So according to this idea, how you are God to act to your brother if something happened to him, and how you will act if there is someone is not your brother as what? A brother as a Muslim brother,
yes, yes, yes.
but is a brother of what?
Yes.
Of kind of you. You have the same kind of what humanity is, a human being.
We have Jibhatul Haq, Jibhatul Batil. Of course, Jibhatul Haq is also active, you know, on his own side, regardless of the race, language, religion, or anything. The late Imam Khomeini's wish is becoming true, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim, for a nice elaboration. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Palestine will be free.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Father, to wipe away my tears, that's why I will cry. I feel scared, but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart, I never have any doubt. The Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The sounding bell of the U.S. stock market, symbolic of a stock market that should be performing well. But these cheers are not reflective of what is going on in the U.S. economy. Instead, warning signs should be going off due to the U.S. banking sector. Trading was halted in shares of two more U.S. lenders. Regulators